You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Hi, I'm Holly Randall, and welcome to my podcast, Holly Randall Unfiltered. This is a show about sex, the adult industry, and the people in it. I'm a 21-year veteran of this fascinating little industry, and as the eldest child of the trailblazing erotic photographer Suze Randall, you could say I grew up in it. So forget everything you think you know about porn, because this show is going to change your mind. My guests are some of the biggest names in the industry, and we unabashedly reveal the real behind-the-scenes stories. The funny, the inspiring, the tragic, and the bizarre. Everyone has an opinion about sex work, but few people actually listen to the sex workers. So sit back and prepare yourself for a podcast which is honest, raw, and unfiltered. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Holly Randall Unfiltered. Before I get started, I really want to tell you about this incredible new app that I discovered. They are, you know, full disclosure, sponsoring my show, but they're called Amorous. And it's, you know, it's the perfect app if you want to add like some sizzle to your relationship, or if you're starting off in a brand new relationship and you want to get to know somebody on a more intimate level. It's a private one-to-one app to flirt and discover your relationship while in total control of what you share. It's free for Apple devices, with Android launching later this year. You can download it in the App Store and invite your flame to connect and play. They have all kinds of fun, sexy games on there. Trust me, you're going to love it. Check it out at amorous.net/Holly in the App Store or in the show description. That is Amorous, amorus.net/Holly. Okay, so I had today's guest on the podcast back in 2019, where we talked about how she got started in the industry, hosting the AVN Awards, and how both of our moms were in Hustler. I actually forgot about that part. So if you haven't listened to that episode, go ahead and make sure that you check it out. She's someone that I really, really admire. She is like the epitome of the got there herself, great work ethic, take no bullshit kind of person. She's been in the industry for 10 years. She's accomplished so much. And I am just thrilled to catch up with the gorgeous Romy Rain.
Hi, how you doing? Thank you.
I'm good. How are you?
Good. It's an awesome little intro. Love that.
I know. It's kind of nice to like hear all your accolades in one, right?
No, it's so nice. And then like when you hear like 10 years, like, wow, it really has been like a solid 10 years now. It's wild.
Has it been a good 10 years, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, technically even longer, because I mean, I started like exotic dancing at 19. Mm-hmm. And then that was off and on. And then I started webcamming off and on at like 22, 23. And then I started like actual porn 25, 26.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like if you wanted to add all of like the adult stuff, it's been like over 15 years.
Yeah.
But yeah, like actual like pornography is 10 years. But yeah, it's been wild. It doesn't seem like that long when you look back. Time kind of does fly. But so much has changed. So much has changed.
I mean, so we last talked on the show about a year before the pandemic.
Yeah.
I feel like we can't like catch up without talking about what 2020 was like for you, because it was such a pivotal time in so many people's lives.
Yeah.
So how did you survive COVID?
You know, this almost sounds so bad, but like the first 6 months, I was chilling. I was like, because I was so busy like right before that happened. There was like this weird moment of like, I don't have to leave the house. I don't have to like go A, B, C, and D and like all of the same day. And like I also, which was really funny, I at the time, right before COVID started, like the end of 2018 or 19, I signed like a contract in like November. I was working with Cam4 at the time. So I signed a webcam contract. So I was contracted for a webcam company all throughout 2020. So like I had a pretty steady gig regardless. Yeah. So it was like kind of fun for me. I had like a whole cam room that I set up and like took all this time to decorate. So I spent a lot of time online. It was like a really good time for me to like cultivate my content and like just work a little bit more on like my brand. And I mean, it's terrible to say that I kind of enjoyed it early on in the beginning. And I, again, consider myself lucky. Like, I had things to do at home. And yeah, it wasn't too bad, I hate to say it. And yeah, I worked a lot. I, like, obviously got really involved in OnlyFans. That's kind of when we all kind of really took it seriously, because mm-hmm. we had to. It mm-hmm. was like our main source of income at the time. And still, for the most part, for a lot of us is. But yeah, I mean, I just used it as like a kick in the ass to like work more for myself mm-hmm. and my own thing. So in general, I wasn't too upset. I kind of enjoyed it. It was like it worked for me. I made COVID work for me.
I mean, I know that it changed people's lives in so many different ways. And yeah. the sex work community, like, I feel like some of the most significant changes. How did it change your life?
Well, it really changed the way that I view content creation. I started taking it so much more seriously. I started taking my interactions with my fans even more seriously, because it wasn't like, oh yeah, I'll do this maybe like a couple days out of the month, shoot a little bit of content here and there. And then, yeah, but I'm going to be like shooting for these different companies, and I'm going to be traveling and doing like little guest spots and hosting and blah, blah, blah. It was really like, okay, no, like now it's time to shoot content. Now it's time to really like make sure that you're taking care of your fans and that you're shooting the kind of things that you want to shoot. And I think it made me take my work a lot more seriously. And it made me like realize, like, I kind of want to be my own boss even more. I really liked, you know, setting up my shoots. I really like doing lighting and doing like set design and like picking my outfits and my themes. And I really enjoyed interacting with my fans, especially during that time when everybody was just stuck at home. So all everybody wanted was just a little bit of company and attention. And so I stayed really busy. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the work part of it, but it changed my brand in the sense of like, now I really did become my own boss and I felt like my own boss, and it made me kind of not really want to get rid of that. So almost like ever since the pandemic is when I pretty much started 90% only working for me and kind of not working so much for other people, which made my content even more valuable, because the only place that you could like see my work was coming straight to me and buying it from me. So I felt much more valuable as a creator. And I enjoyed being the boss. I enjoyed hiring people, and like it's also kind of a trip, like, to hire people that used to hire me. Like, yeah. like I work with like Chris Streams and Marcos Rivera a lot. Like, they shoot a bunch of my content for me, and they used to like put so much money in my pocket. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like this interesting like pay it forward that now mm-hmm. like I'm giving it back to them. And yeah, and in my own way, like keeping the industry running. Like mm-hmm. we were joking that like I'm giving you money so you can, you know, make your sets better and hire even better like performers or the people that you want to hire. So I'm just helping make the industry a better place, even though I'm still working for myself. I still feel like I'm contributing to like mainstream, even if I'm not really working so much in mainstream right now.
You know, there were a few producers who complained about, you know, how the rise of OnlyFans, which really, you know, we saw skyrocket during COVID. A lot of performers didn't really come back to shooting mainstream porn.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that critique?
I mean, it's true. I mean, I consider myself like one of those people. I have shot like here and there. But I mean, in all honesty, like right now, I haven't shot a scene for a mainstream company in almost a year. This year, I am actually like going to change that. I am going to be shooting for a few companies and a few different people this mm-hmm. year just to do it for fun and mm-hmm. to have like more stuff circulating again, accumulate new fans when people haven't like seen me, because the industry again has like changed and there's always a bit of a turnover every few years. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I want to shoot a few scenes this year. But I think it's a valid critique. I think I don't like it when they're mad that people aren't shooting because they don't need to, because some of it's like they're mad that performers aren't as maybe quote unquote desperate as they used mm-hmm. to be for work.
The power dynamic has shifted.
No, and I that's think what it is.
People are uncomfortable with that.
That's, I think, like the problem. And I'm not a fan of that. It was like, oh, you're just mad you can't get so-and-so on your set for a discounted rate to do something that maybe she's not all that comfortable with doing, because mm-hmm. she can do what she wants to do at home, or she can like fund her own set day and work with the people she wants to work with and mm-hmm. hire the people that she wants to be around. So I understand that, like, oh, it's a bummer to not get, like, certain people on set. Like, I love that some people are mad that, like, you know, I'm not as on their set as much. But
it makes you feel, like, valuable.
It,
like,
does.
You should have appreciated me when you had me.
Yeah, a little bit. And it's like, but if you treated me well, I always remember that. Like, yeah. Again, like, the people that, like, have treated me well and work with me, like, I'll, like, hire them to work for me. Or they'll be the first people that I talk to mm-hmm. when I'm considering, like, shooting for companies again. Be like, hey, you know. Do you want to, like, work with me in the next few months? But yeah, so I don't like when they're bitter about it because they almost are upset that we are taking charge of our lives and our brands, and we don't necessarily, like, need to do things anymore if we don't want to do them. But I know it's a bummer. So mm-hmm. I see it from both sides, but be happy for people doing well. Like, you know.
I mean, I personally, I also understand, you know, being upset that, like, you know, you can't really shoot so-and-so anymore because, you know, they decided to do their own thing. But personally, I really feel like – I just feel like it just makes the industry better overall because yeah. then the people who do come to set are people who actually really want to be there.
Agreed.
And I don't – I hate working with people who don't want to be there. Like, if you don't want to be there, like, I don't want you to be here either.
Yeah.
And there were definitely, you know, times that people would take gigs because they had to, which yeah. I understand. And now I feel like the people who show up on set are people who really want to be there. And that, for me, just makes the whole dynamic feel better and yeah. the vibe on set feel better. So I personally, like, I just – and I really like that performers have more power and more agency now. I feel like brands have taken notice. They treat them better. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's made me feel more comfortable in my position as a director because there's definitely been times when I've worked for brands who, like – have tried to get me to push performers to do something that they didn't mm-hmm. like or, you know, put me in like an awkward position.
Yeah.
And I didn't really feel – I was nervous about saying, no, I won't do that because then I'm like, then they're not going to hire me anymore
yeah.
because I'm not pushing them to get the things that they want. So for me, I just feel like this just feels like it's better overall for everybody.
Yeah, I agree. And then, yeah, when people show up to set, they really want to be there. They want to do it for fun. Like, yeah, it's going to be fun to go back on sets because I want to be there, not yeah. because, like, oh, I really need this check yeah. or got to make sure I pay rent. Like, no, just because, hey, I want to, like, have some really cool sex with some really cool people and, like, make it into a really dynamic, fun day and see some people I haven't seen in a while. But, yeah, I think that's fabulous.
You know what's been so interesting is that I've had a lot of – when I do other interviews, I've had a lot of people ask me, like, what do you think about, you know, the fact that OnlyFans has, like, killed the porn industry? I'm like, when? Where is that? Where is the evidence that it's killed the yeah. porn industry? Where is the evidence that, like, Brazzers is going under? Like,
yeah.
you know, where is the evidence that, like, Adult Time, like, isn't producing anymore? Like, if anything, I feel like brands are shooting more content now.
Yeah.
So, like – this, and it's just interesting. It's like trying to create this narrative that pitches, like, the performers against, like, the studios. Like,
yeah, I don't like that. I have seen that, but I would also, on your side, argue the same thing. I think that because OnlyFans made sex work a little bit more mainstream, which it undeniably has, of course, we still get stigma. Of course, we're still getting shut down, and certain states still hate us and will shut down our websites. But more people are a part of OnlyFans than you would even think. Like, especially with the pandemic, so many people started creating content and they started realizing, like, oh, I don't have to maybe do super extreme things to be considered, like, a sex worker. I can maybe, like, shoot solos or girl-girl, like, the kind of boy-girl things I want to shoot. So I've noticed that people have really kind of crossed over a lot more. I know, like, that can be a little bit controversial, too, because I even know some performers, like, they don't like that a lot of, like, people that got started on OnlyFans or got started on, like, different websites are getting a little bit of attention from brands because they're getting so popular on their own. But I've noticed people, like, really crossing over and starting to do more adult work. I don't think porn is having a hard time getting people within, mm-hmm. getting people into porn. I think you're not getting as many people, again, desperate. Like, you're not getting, like, these scared, like, desperate people who, like, really need the money and are just willing to do anything, anywhere. You're getting people with a little bit more confidence and a little bit more of a voice. But I think you're still getting a lot of people who want to be a part of sex work. I think sex work has become a lot cooler. Mm-hmm. I think the amount of people that want to talk to us and like understand like what we do and our business and our brands are is becoming a much bigger thing. Even like in terms of podcasting, like there's so many podcasts that now are inviting us on just to talk to us and that are interested in hearing our stories. I think no. So I would completely disagree. I think that porn is fine. And I do think that it's actually brought in a whole new kind of group of performers. And I just think they're stronger minded performers. I think they're more business savvy. I think you're just getting more educated performers in the industry now, which as a performer, I think is a great thing because it also doesn't like have the cliche of like the industry is super seedy and super dark and you do it out of desperation as like, your last resort and there's nowhere to go. So I think it's actually a really cool thing that it's become so mainstream.
Yeah. I also feel like the dynamic has shifted in relating back to like the agency and the independence that performers have, but in a different way where, you know, we saw this kind of like second Me Too wave come through the industry and even like maybe a third one, you know, a few months ago where performers no longer felt like they had to be silenced by the fact that they would need to work for certain brands again and they may get blacklisted for speaking out. And they were like, you know what? I can actually talk about these bad experiences that I had and call out these predatory people because like I know that like I can make money on my own. And, you know, there's been a few people that have been kind of pushed out of the industry or at least to the fringes by that. And I feel like that's a really good thing.
Absolutely.
And also like for me as a director, I feel like I noticed such a huge shift. Like, you know, when that during COVID, when all that calling out happened and all these people like were getting fired and stuff like that, you know, I was working for MindGeek and they really sat down and they were like, okay, like we need to look at the people that are working for us and we need to like really take steps to ensure that talent is safe on set. Something that I think people never really thought that they had to think about before.
Yeah.
So then they instituted like the talent assistants that are there to advocate for the models and just all these rules and regulations that, you know, I personally felt like, okay, this makes me feel more comfortable about shooting as well. Because, you know, even though I've always tried to cultivate like a safe and comfortable set and I hope that girls feel empowered to speak out and tell me if there's a problem, but I don't know for sure, you know what I mean? And now with like these boundary checklists that we require on set, like the dialogue has opened up so much more and the communications has opened up so much more in a way that it never had before, where I can be like, oh, there are things that I could have overlooked before that like now these steps have been put in place that I hopefully, you know, I won't now. Like, I'll, you know, I don't know. It just feels like, I just feel like right now is the best time to come into porn. Like,
I agree.
It's just better.
I absolutely agree. Itself. I think the industry has probably been like the safest it's ever been. There's much more communication than there's ever been. I mean, of course, there's always going to be bad eggs. Like, there's some crappy people like still around, and there's crappy people that were around for a long time that, like, that's why people were getting called out. People got really sick of it. They were accumulating all these terrible stories. But I think, like, you've never had more power as a performer than you do right now. And again, as somebody who's been in 10 years, it was not like this 10 years ago. There was no consent forms on set when I was on set. Are you fucking crazy? Like, when I was newer, I was one of the few girls at my agency at a time who had a yes list. That, I was called a diva for that. There were some people who didn't want to hire me because of that. Like, so
can you explain to those who may not know what a yes list is?
A yes and no list is essentially people you would love to work with and people you don't want to work with and things that you're willing to do or not willing to do. And a lot of companies didn't like and directors didn't like if you had preferences. They wanted you to be down for anything, anyone. And if you weren't, then you weren't professional. Like you were almost called unprofessional if you weren't just down for absolutely anything. And I think that's, again, what forced some performers to do things they didn't want to do and which caused a lot of these terrible stories. Like some of these people not caring about consent and like the health and safety of their performers is why there was like these big call outs and why there was like a big porn Me Too movement. So I think it's an amazing thing. Again, I think like this has never been a more powerful time to be a performer. There's never been a better time to be a performer. There's never been more options. Like there's never been so many ways to promote yourself. Like there's never been so many people who care about your brand and take it seriously. And like they want you to tweet them. They want you to like be a part. They want you to wear their clothes and they want you to talk good about them. They want you to be happy. And I think like that's really fucking cool. Cause again, it was not really like that. It was like the trenches when I was new. You really had to like, you know, put your chin up and really like get through it. You really had to be careful. You really like you had to try to make some really good choices. And even then, like even I've still worked with some crappy people and been taken advantage of. And yeah, it's kind of a bummer. But again, I think it's the trajectory that the industry has been going on. It's been getting so much better. And I think that's great because I don't want to be a part of a cliche. I don't want to be a part of like this like nasty, dirty, sad world where we're all just like these sad girls crying in a corner masturbating. Like it's, you know, which some, I feel like that's what some people's negative view of porn is.
100% it is.
And some people love that, but some people get off on that, which is kind of funny. There's like some people who they like the idea that we're all like these desperate, like lost souls who will allow anybody to do anything to us and we'll just take a check just because it's a check. And nowadays that's not the case. And I think that's what also upsets people as well. But yeah, I've definitely seen incredible changes in the industry. And yeah, and I wouldn't want to say it's easier now, but I think that girls getting into the industry nowadays, they absolutely have more options and people care a lot more about their safety and well-being. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Do you have any specific examples of bad experiences that you had in your earlier days that maybe would serve as examples to people?
Well, I mean, I had a lot of situations like when I would be on set and we would be shooting sex stills. And sex stills is like the pictures you take before the scene actually starts, which are like the pictures that you promote later that you'll have on the back of the DVD cover or like the promo when the scene comes out. So we'd be doing sex stills and we'd be kind of going over what they wanted us to do during the scene. Sometimes they let you go and sometimes they have obviously specific things they want to see. And like there would be a bunch of times where like the director or somebody would be like, hey, I know this is like just a boy-girl scene, but do you mind if he puts a few fingers in your ass? And you're like naked in the middle of like already being like penetrated, already having sex with somebody. All of these people standing around you.
Yeah, you're in a very vulnerable position at that very moment.
Yeah, and you were like, well, no. And then also, too, like, you know, stuff, you know, different things are different prices when it comes to, like, rates. So, like, anal usually is considered a few dollars more. There are a lot of people. And you'd be like, well, I don't know. I'm not really comfortable with that. This is supposed to be just like a boy-girl scene. I'm just like, you know, a pussy scene. Let's just stick with that. And they would be like, and I've had, like, directors literally pout and be like, oh, really? I mean, it would make the scene so much better. I mean, so-and-so did it. And it was so good. And they're like, oh, we just want you to do this. Or just like a few fingers or just this and that. And I'd be like, they would really like kind of put you in a position to like make you feel like you had to do something. And if you said no, that it would upset them or it would potentially cost you work or you weren't as good of a performer as somebody else. So, yeah, I've had stuff like that happen, which isn't cool. That's not a cool thing to do. I've like one of my first like website directors that I shot content with, like this was before like there was paperwork and consent forms. Like there would be like clips that I uploaded to my page. And like now that you need like much more consent forms, like I took down clips like years ago. And then I find them that they're, you know, some people have them uploaded to Pornhub and I'm like, or different tube sites. And I'm like, you can't have these. Like, I don't even have these scenes up. Like, these, like, were home movies that I shot with, like, spouses years ago. Or, like, this person, assaulted me. There was, like, somebody that, like, assaulted me that I had, like, clips with that, like, they had up on their page. And I know they didn't have paperwork for. And I'm like, you please take those down. And they were like, no. But now, I actually, thankfully, in the past few years, that's all changed as well. Mm-hmm. Like, now people care again about, like, consent and paperwork. So actually Pornhub was the one who like took down a lot of these like clips and stuff that weren't supposed to be there. So, yeah.
Yeah, they had to after that New York Times article came out.
No, and they even started doing that beforehand, which was like a big deal. So, I mean, I've had like a lot of little things here and there where like there was coercion on set or people not caring about like your brand or your money. And so, yeah, I mean, I could go on. I've definitely had like, you know, PAs message me after a scene and like send me pictures of their dick and say like, yeah, let's, do you want to hang out? And I'm like,
my God,
no,
so fucking fired.
No. Yeah. Oh. Nowadays, I mean, one person actually did like, I think got fired because of that. And they were like, well, no, we were dating. I'm like, we were not dating. So I had to actually send them like transcripts of like all the texts these people were, this guy was sending to me. And I'm like, I was not responding. Like I was saying, no, I don't date. I don't date like people who work on set. I don't date directors or crew or da 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 da. And like, yeah. So I had to like prove, because this person was lying and acting like we had a sexual relationship when we never did.
Oh my God.
It was crazy. Yeah. So I had to send like fucking all the text messages that they sent me and like pictures of their dick that were like, please don't send me this. And yeah. So,
wow.
Yeah, you can't do that anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you just said something that's kind of interesting that it's funny because in reverse, I get this question a lot. Mm. So you said that you don't date crew members or directors or anything.
I mean, I never have. I always like didn't. I mean, I've said like you never date performers, but I like I have a couple of times and I don't really recommend that either. but no, I've actually never dated a crew or director. And that was just something that I just said for myself, like back in the day, just to say it, just because I also wanted to, again, like it was the Wild West. I wanted to be seen as
a power dynamic there.
Exactly.
That there isn't probably with other performers.
I wanted to be seen as professional as possible. I wanted people to hire me, like to just get me on their set. I didn't want there to be any like weirdness or anybody to have like any kind of vendetta against me or take advantage of me. And I don't know. I really, when I was newer, I really wanted to make it in the industry. I really tried to be as professional as possible. Like I wanted to be seen. I didn't want to be like a throwaway girl. I didn't want to be a girl that was out in 6 months. I didn't want to be like forgotten about or ignored or not seen as like a good performer or like getting blacklisted on people's sets. Because if you date too many people, they're not going to want you on their set. Like I've seen that happen.
Yeah, that's happened to me where like I kind of have a pretty strict rule where I don't want my crew members to date performers because it gets messy and it's happened in the past. And then afterwards, I'm like, now I can't like bring this person on set because you're here. Like it just got weird, you know? Mm-hmm. And people have asked me, and I'm like, you know, obviously like no shame on, you know, crew members and directors and date performers and stuff. Because there's been a lot of like great relationship. You know, you fall in love with someone, you fall in love with someone. Like it
I
is
agree
what
with
it
that.
Is.
If it's real, go for it.
Yeah,
sure.
Totally. But people do often ask me like why I don't sleep with performers. And they're shocked when I tell them I don't do it.
Yeah.
And they're just like, well, why not? And I'm like, believe it or not, like I take my job seriously.
Yeah.
And I feel like I do feel like there is a power dynamic there that is like kind of being like is there's a it's a real gray area.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I just feel like it's super shady. I don't know. It just feels like unprofessional.
Is.
It feels very unprofessional.
It really just
for
kind
me.
Of is. I agree with that. And I think you almost set yourself apart when you're known to like be really professional and you're not just there to like screw around and like suck the director's dick in the bathroom to like get work. Like So I think you're taken a bit more seriously and I think that's really cool. I wanted to be taken seriously. I didn't get into the industry for like hashtag porn life. Like, I was never really like the girl who was having like random orgies in hotel rooms. Mm-hmm. Like in some ways, maybe I'm not like cool in that way. Like I want to see people on set. I want to have like really good sex with people and explore my sexuality and have a good time. But I want to do it in like a controlled chaos environment.
Mm-hmm.
I was never like super crazy, like slutty when I was younger. I was always very sexual, but I think being sexual and being slutty are different things.
Mm.
So I was never like, you know, anybody can stick their dick in me. I'm just like, I'm just here. Yay. Mm-hmm. Like, no, I wanted to have this be a career and I wanted to enjoy what I was doing and be taken seriously. And you can be taken seriously in sex work if you demand so.
Yeah. Yeah. We all know Adam and Eve is the one-stop shop for everything sexy. And now, with my code HOLLY, you can get any one item for 50% off, plus 10 free gifts. And you'll even get free shipping. So spice up your sex life at adamandeve.com, but only if you use code Holly. Let's talk about body modifications in the industry. I know that you're someone who's always been really, you know, pro body modifications if that's what makes people feel good about themselves. You know, you see a lot of people saying like, oh, well, she's fake this, fake that. But I've seen you interject in a lot of these threads, which I think is really nice to say, like, look, like if something's going to make somebody feel good about themselves, like, we should take that into consideration.
Absolutely.
And I look at that because I do think like there's definitely people that I've seen that I do think in my head, I'm like, ooh, that's a bit much. But then it's like, you know what? It is kind of like
– it's their body.
It's their body. And if that would make them happy, then like
– yeah.
You know?
No, I mean, you should – you only have like one life to live. Your vessel is yours. I always like joke about it as like your avatar. Mm-hmm. You can like change and move things around at will, like just like a video game. You can add, remove. And I think it's really cool. I mean, like we were kind of talking earlier that like it's art. People who are really good at their job, like plastic surgeons, it's amazing what people can do. And it really can change somebody's confidence and make them happier and make them want to be out in the world a little bit more, want to show off their body a little bit more. And especially like in this kind of industry, like our bodies are kind of our work. So we have to look at ourselves naked all the time, like probably more than the average person. So if we see things we might want to change about ourselves for any kind of way, why not? And then, you know, you get older, you want to like add, remove, nip, tuck. Like some people get like mad at certain things. And I always do say too, when people are like, no, I like everything natural. So many people, so many like men especially, who say they want like A, B, and C natural, they can't tell the difference when it's done well. You know what I mean? Yeah. They really can't. Like I've had so many people think my boobs are like real throughout my career. I've had 3 boob jobs. Some people like think I just went and did squats at the gym. No, I got a BBL like in 2019. You know, my lips got a little plumper. Some people get a little bit mad at that, like when you do a little bit extra plumping in the lips, which I understand. Because it can like change things around a little bit. But no, I mean, I wanted to like have fun and look like the way I want to look and enjoy my pornography. And,
yeah. So I will take this opportunity to say we were talking about this before the podcast. This is my last podcast episode before I go under the knife in 2 days. So actually when this releases on all the podcast platforms, I will hopefully be somewhat recovered about a month. Or something like that.
Okay, that's a good amount.
So I'm getting 360 lipo and an athletic BBL. I'm getting a very, very small one because I like my butt, but I'm like, oh, if I could defy gravity, like as I get older, like why not? Oh, so so I'm nervous about it, but I'm also excited because, you know, like you said, I had a kid and I cannot like – get my body back the way it was. I mean, look, I probably could if I decided to eat rabbit food and go to the gym 7 times a week. And I'm just like, that's just not going to happen. And I do like work out a lot. I go to Orange Theory. I go to Power Yoga. Like I go at least 3 times a week.
But there's some things you really can't change in the gym.
Really,
and some people don't understand that either. They're like, oh, just do squats. Oh, just go on a diet. Oh, just do chest presses. Like, no, if you talk to actual doctors, not even just plastic surgeons, there are certain things about your body that like is physically impossible to change. And every body is literally different. So there's like something that you could do in the gym that I couldn't do in the gym. Maybe your waist is naturally smaller. Maybe your hips are naturally bigger. Maybe you have like more fat in your butt naturally so it can get higher and tighter and perkier. Like there's only so much you can actually do in the gym and with diet and exercise. Yeah.
And what I've come to realize as I get older, and I think this is like almost one of the more valuable life lessons that I've had, is like there's a difference between like what I can do and like what I'm willing to do. Like I feel like I'm getting to a point in my life where I'm like really starting to recognize like what I'm going to do and what I'm not going to do. As opposed, you know, I used to live in this world like, oh, well, when I start going to the gym 7 times a week and when I start eating food like this way, you know, like bitch, I'm just not. You know what I mean? Like, I have other things in my life, and like, I'm not lazy, and I eat well for the most part, but I also like, I like sugar. I like to have dessert sometimes, and I'm just not, I don't want to give all that up for certain things. And I don't want to go to the gym 7 times a week. Like, I can't go to the gym 7 times a week. And you know what? Like, it was funny because a friend of mine, when I told him what I was doing, he's like, can't you just do more squats? And I said to him, I'm like, there's a difference between what I can do and what I will do. What I probably, I could go to the gym and, you know, Jennifer Lopez does what, like 1,000 squats a day?
But her butt was always naturally big. That's the thing.
1,000 squats a day. But you know what I am going to do is I'm going to work really fucking hard. I'm going to save my money.
Yes.
And I'm going to spend it on a plastic surgeon who's going to give me the body that I want. And like, there's different kinds of people. There's the people who have the motivation and the drive and the time to do all that nutrition, workout stuff. And then there's the people like me who are going to devote their time to like working, making money, saving it so I can. And it's kind of like, what's the difference in a way? You know what I mean? It's like different ways to get at the same goal.
It's definitely not when people's like, oh, it's lazy. It's definitely not lazy when it comes to like, you had to work really hard to make that money to spend on the surgery. And recovery is no joke. Like, recovery is weeks and weeks of like very like specific like recovery. You have to wear certain things. You have to wear compression garments. You have to take, you're going to be sore. You're going to be tired. You're going to be in pain. And like, you do have to maintain your results. So it's not just like completely like snap your fingers and you look like amazing. Yeah. You are a part of the journey.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think it's lazy at all. The amount of like money and time that you have to put into it, like you could argue that that was what you could do in the gym as well. But again, like there's only so much you can do in the gym and every body is not going to look the same. Like we're, you and I would look very different if we both did the same amount of exercise, the same things in the gym. And like, it's very hard to actually grow a butt. Like I didn't really have a butt at all when I got my fat transfer. And like, there's only so much you can do in the gym. Like you can't, you can get your butt a little higher and tighter and firmer, but you're not going to get a fat ass in the gym. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
Like, and it's not like I can eat certain foods that'll go straight to my butt. Like, no, it might go everywhere else. And if I get bigger, you're going to get bigger kind of all over. And some people don't understand that either. So, yeah, it's like there's certain things that can only grow by a surgeon. That's like saying you can go to the gym and make your boobs bigger. Like, it's not, that's not how it works.
Yeah. But yeah, it's been interesting. There's been like a lot of self-talk, you know, with like almost giving myself like, and excuses to do it, which I think made me realize like how much I mentally fed into the whole idea that, you know, you have to achieve all of these results by going to the gym or eating, you know what I mean? Like we're so indoctrinated that that's like what you have to do to get there. And I remember like after I had my baby looking at like before and afters of like skinny supermodels and stuff like that. Well, of course they went back to their original size 3 days later. Like these people are built genetically different than I am. Like,
and they have nutritionists and trainers. Like that's their entire life is to like stay in shape. Like that is their source of income. So of course, like, that's much easier for them. But isn't it like almost more of a body shaming thing when people are shaming you and acting like it's not okay?
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's like the weird twist, right? Because there's like the, it's like the body shaming either way that women face. They get body shamed if they don't lose the weight and go back to the way that they looked before they had a baby. And then they get shamed if they go and like seek, you know, surgery to get themselves back there. It's like either way.
Yeah.
You're it's like unless you're like naturally like one of God's favorites that just goes back to like looking like that. Like,
No, it's so true. It's like either way, you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. So you might as well like do what makes you happy. And if like somebody actually cares about you or is a fan of you, they're going to want you to be happy. And everything about you is going to be different and better if you are confident and you look the way you want to look, you feel the way you want to feel. And I think that's what people should want for you. I think it's always really sad when somebody talks down to somebody about like what they choose to do with their bodies, especially because it's such a personal thing.
Yeah.
And people like almost take it very much into themselves, like, you know, especially like a fan of like a porn performer, they'll sometimes get personally offended if like you change something about yourself or you like, I know girls who like maybe like had a kind of a teen look and they get a boob job, like they're going to piss off some of their fans who are like, you ruined yourself. Why would you do this to yourself? You look so much better before. Meanwhile, the girl probably thinks that she looks amazing and she loves the way she looks. So it's actually really kind of sad. Like if you actually actually care about somebody, you should want them to be happy. And it's really sad when people like really tear somebody down for just wanting to look a little different or changing, or like if you're getting older and you want things to, like, I've been around for 10 years. Either way, I'm not going to look the same way I did at 25.
Yeah. I mean, the crazy shaming that I see, especially like on my podcast videos, you know, on YouTube, people have been like, oh man, she got old, or oh man, she put on weight. Yeah. Like, dude, think? Like 10 years have passed. Like, yeah. What the fuck do you expect? Like, she's, you know, she's.
Yeah.
Which no, she found honestly. Supposed to find the fountain of eternal youth. That's called Botox, people.
Exactly. Come and then on. They get mad if you do that little kind of thing. You get a little Botox. You plump up your lips a little bit because those naturally thin as you get older. Yeah. And some people get mad that you, like, you changed.
My favorite thing is when I tell people that, like, oh, I'm going to go get Botox or something like that. They're like, you don't need it. I'm like, I don't need it because I've been getting it done for the last, like, 15 years. Yeah. That's why I don't need it. Yeah. Like, it's just funny, you know?
No, it's so true. People, and that's what I mean. Again, a lot of people have no idea. When like work is done, if it's like good work or if it's subtle or if you just don't talk about it. But I like to be relatively open about it. Like, I don't like share everything constantly that I do in my life, but I definitely don't lie about it. I even had to get my septum fixed. So my nose is actually a little bit different than it was when I was newer. But a lot of people, what they don't know too, because I've had a few people notice and be like, I liked your natural nose. Fun fact, that wasn't my natural nose either. Like, I actually had my nose broken when I was a teenager, and like they like kind of fixed it and like changed it a little bit, and it was actually a little crooked and my septum was fucked up, so I could barely breathe. If you'd notice in some of my porn scenes, I would be like mouth breathing, I'd be like inhaling so much air, and yeah, like I'm really into it and really energetic, but I also couldn't breathe when when like you'd get too worked up and your nose would get clogged. So yeah, so I got my septum fixed a few years ago, and yeah, and some people got upset with that, but I'm like, I can breathe now.
I feel like, I mean, we're probably going down a road that people are not interested in, but I might ask you afterwards, because I also, my nose is, I have a deviated septum, and I have like your nostrils
aren't. Your nostrils close.
Yeah, they're not supposed to close when you breathe in through your nose, and mine do. Like, I have horrible breathing problems. I always have. And I went to go see a doctor about getting my nose fixed, and he was like, oh, we're going to have to change the structure of your nose, because he said that like my walls were too thin, and my nose is like the one thing about my face I really like. So I was like, you're not touching my fucking nose.
So I like mine too.
So I said no.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'll talk to you about it.
No, I get it. But yeah, some people get upset. It's like, but that's something ironically that I did actually to make my overall life better, not even necessarily just to change my looks. Like, I liked my nose too. And I think it was actually like almost a tiny bit smaller. But like now I can breathe, so I can do more in life. So please don't be mad at me for being able to breathe a little bit better now. I'm sorry.
So let's shift gears a little bit. Okay. I just had Laura Desiree on the show a couple of weeks ago, who I know is a very good friend of yours.
Yes.
And she started a web series. I know you guys had a podcast together too.
And that was when I was with Cam4. So that's, it was sponsored by Cam4 at the time.
How many did you guys do, seasons or just episodes?
We technically three seasons. Yeah. I believe that we had about like 30-ish episodes. Mm-hmm. But that was the thing too, that like once we really got our footing, like we did like, I think, 20-ish episodes. And then that's when COVID hit. So then we had to do like at home streaming, which is always so different. It's always, it's much more fun to be like in an actual podcast setting.
Yeah.
So like that's something that was sad about COVID. COVID kind of killed that, and then my contract like ran out and I didn't want to renew, so then like podcast was over.
Yeah.
But it was so fun. Love Laura. Anyway, sorry, go.
Well, so she you know, has her web series Red Umbrella Talk.
Yes.
And you were a guest on the first episode.
Yes.
What message do you want to send out to the adult industry? What message did you want to send out about the adult industry as a guest in that interview?
I really wanted to just explain that it really is a job. It's a career, and it can be a very fruitful, thriving career that isn't necessarily a dead end, as people always want to say. Like, you can be in the industry for a long time and still be getting a lot out of it. There's so many avenues to go to. There's so many ways that you can like test yourself and to grow without even just completely doing the actual porn scenes. You could like learn how to host. You can learn how to create content. You can learn how to write, how to direct. Like, there's so many things that you could also be a part of when you're a part of pornography. And also, I love trying to like, you know, smush the stigma a little bit that we're all these sad, lonely, lost people. Like, some very strong, intelligent, powerful, talented people are in this industry. And I think that they deserve respect and we deserve to be taken seriously. Like this is a business and this can be a really cool, prosperous business that, you know, should be looked at as such.
Do you find that the stigma of doing sex work affects you in your day-to-day life?
Not necessarily, but I honestly do kind of have a little bit of like a work-life separation. Mm. Like I'm, you know, I'm Romy everywhere that like I'm supposed to be Romy. But like when I'm kind of just like living my daily life, like I just want to chill. Like again, like I joke again, the difference between like being super slutty and being sexual. I'm a very sexual person, but like when I'm not like, you know, shooting or, you know, connecting with people that I want to connect with or having sex, like I just, you know, want to go to the grocery store and I'm probably going to wear sweatpants and I'm probably not going to wear makeup. Like, but then when it's like time to look good and wear makeup and be on, I love doing that. Mm-hmm. But no, I like to like go home and turn out the lights and like lay down on the recliner and like watch some Netflix. So I don't let it completely consume my every second of my everyday life. But no, I mean,
Do you find dating difficult?
You know, I'm not much of a dater. Mm. I think like that's a thing too. But yeah, I know you were saying that like, oh, does it affect me? Not too much because I don't really allow it to affect. I don't allow people to disrespect me. So mm-hmm. if people like know about what I do, I don't let them shame me and I don't feel shamed if they try to because mm-hmm. again, this is something that I chose and this has been my kind of entire adult life's work. So I know what I've been able to accomplish and like, you know, like how successful I've been able to be and the fact that I can support myself in Los Angeles and New York and take care of people that I love. Like I'm very proud of that and no one's going to take that from me. And so I take that very seriously. So I'm picky. So it's not very easy to date, but it's not really easy to date in general as like a boss or as like a woman in charge. And like, I don't really need a man. So mm-hmm. I enjoy kind of, you know, being by myself and doing my own thing. And I get sex whenever I want to get it with some of the most talented, sexual, sexy people in the world. So it's like, I'm not somebody that really goes out like perusing for dick because I can, or pussy, because I can get it whenever I want it. So like when somebody's kind of in my life, I really have to like enjoy their company and we really have to connect on a relatively deep level. And that can be kind of hard. Also, I'm kind of a homebody, to be honest. So I don't really get out too much. So dating in general is a little bit difficult, but I wouldn't necessarily blame like sex work.
Mm-hmm. So you said that, you know, whenever you need like your sexual needs fulfilled, that you can obviously find people to fulfill that.
Yeah.
So that gives me the sense that do you have like a strong group of friends or family that helps fulfill like, you know, the other needs that we all have, which is companionship, like, you know, mentally, spiritually, or however you want to put it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm, again, very, like, picky with people. I'm, like, an only child. So, like, I kind of, like, I value my own space and my time. And I don't mind, like, being alone and doing solo activities. Like, I'll go to the movies by myself if there's nobody around. I actually really enjoy doing stuff like that. But the people that are in my life, I value them and love them so much. I believe, like, you can make your friends your family. You can have a chosen family. So the people that are in my life are, like, total honesty. We can talk about anything. We can do anything. There, I have people that are like in the industry and people that aren't in the industry. And they're both like kind of different levels of friendship too, because some people understand certain things and other people like knew me before I got into the industry. So I have like different levels of friendships. And I think that can be really important. I think friendships are even more important to have when you're in sex work, even more than like a romantic relationship, to be honest.
Yeah, because, I mean, those are less likely to disintegrate,
yeah.
you know, with, I mean, romantic relationships, as we all know, can,
for sure,
you know,
yeah.
end in a fiery fucking blast, whereas, you know, friendships hopefully can last for a long time, or if they kind of fade away, they kind of fade away.
Yeah.
So what has been the biggest challenge that you feel like you've overcome in the last 10 years?
I think, like, the... you know, I was always a little bit insecure about like being able to take things on my own. Like I didn't know, like when I first got started, I always like wanted to be able to like direct my own work and to like be the boss, but I was always a little bit like nervous about it. So that's why I really focused on trying to be like a really great performer and to be taken very seriously and like show that I had these other skills. Like, hey, I can host, I can talk, I can like, you know, I love to perform, I can do like, I love to do streaming. But to actually be kind of like the one behind the camera, I was always a little bit nervous about. And that's something that I've really grown into. Mm. And I've really started to like enjoy that and like see my, like I can put my vision in front of me now. And I think like that makes me feel very powerful. Like when I like have my own set days start to finish, like when I'm the one hiring the director and the makeup artist and the talent, and I have the script and I have the wardrobe and I'm like, okay, I want like this area lit like this. And I like buy all these set pieces and set them up and be like, okay, this is what I want. Let's do this. Let's go. And then like once it's completely wrapped and like I'm looking at the footage, like there really is like this amazing, like, surge of pride. And I think that's really amazing. And I'm sure like as a fucking powerful female director, that's something that you've experienced your entire career too. But isn't it just something like crazy? Because it's something that they don't expect too of women, like to be powerful women who like are making really good pornography that we like.
Yeah. No, there's something really wonderful about seeing like all that hard work come together, you know, because you're so like mentally invested in all the bits and the pieces.
Yeah.
And when you see it finally come together in like one coherent piece edited with the music and everything, you're like, oh, okay. Like
I did
this
that.
Is why I worked like a 15-hour fucking day, three days in a row. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, oh, thank God. Like,
we made a movie. We made art.
Yeah.
Like, we made something that people are going to like spend their hard-earned money on. And I think like that's really amazing. Like, yeah, I love shooting like little sexy clips on my couch and on my bed. But like a lot of my content is like, you know, high production value stuff. And I really enjoy that. I really like feeling like I'm putting good work out there and I'm trying to be a good representation for the industry and show that like this can be really beautiful, sexy, you know, professional shit. And like, again, I love the combination of both. And some people, like some fans, they love the super like homegrown stuff. They love the home movies. I love that too. I love a good sex tape. Like those are so fun, so sexy, amazing to get off to. But like, I know when some people try to complain about stuff like OnlyFans, they're like, oh yeah, but it doesn't look anything like when you shoot for a company. It never looks good. The lighting sucks. And I'm like, not my stuff. So no, I really take a lot of pride in that.
Yeah. You know, and that's actually one of the things that I love about the adult industry so much. And this is so funny because this is something that my mom always said when she first started. And it makes so much sense, especially if you look at like how mainstream works. And if you know people work in mainstream, like if you want to do a movie or a scene or whatever in porn, you can literally like come up with the idea and then start shooting it like the next week. Like it's like that. You don't have to go. There's so much red tape in mainstream and like the people, you know, I mean, not to speak down about unions, but you know what I mean? Like there's like all of these like – it's like an obstacle course to kind of get where you want. And you might need like a lot of funding and like a big budget and you need permission. And, you know, with porn, it's just like, oh, I want to shoot this. You can be like, hire the people. You can call them directly if they don't have an agent or book them through their agent. Like, and, you know, you can just do it.
Yeah.
And it's, and you can create whatever you want. And the great thing about, you know, porn is that like, people always want to buy it, right? Like there's always a market for it. It's like, you know, making a small independent short, it might be hard to make money off of that. Like who's going to like pay to watch like a 10-minute story about someone who goes to the library and meets their father? I don't know where I'm coming up, but you know what I mean? Like you can always sell porn. Like people always want to buy that. There's
always
a constant demand for it.
Yeah.
And so you can, you know, create something that has a really cool story or art around it, as long as like, you know, in there is sex, like you can sell that.
Yeah.
And that's what I love is the ability to like that, to have that constant hungry market.
Yes.
And the ability to be creative with that.
Because, I mean, anything will sell to somebody. Like, there's so many, like, kinks and fetishes and just things that people enjoy that just, like, get them off or they find very erotic. Like, somebody will enjoy it. Somebody will jerk off to it.
Yeah.
Like, so I always, So especially if I like it, I get very excited. Like, of
film
course
it
I take,
and they will come.
Yes, they will literally come. Like, it's good to take requests every now and again. But like, if you really have an idea, really want to do something, like, somebody's going to get into it, yeah. Especially if they like you.
Yeah. Do you have like a specific niche that you find works for you?
Hmm. I don't know. I don't think so. I do. I still really love, you know, just kind of the straight sex stuff. I love like a well done gonzo. Like, even a lot of my high production stuff is still, you know, very produced, like lots of like set. There's a little bit of a script. There's like professional lighting. There's blah, blah, blah. But like, it, the sex matters the most to me. Mm-hmm. So I've always kind of, no matter like how beautiful or how professional I want things to be, I always like care a lot about like the actual sex. I am kind of like a performer at heart still. Yeah. Like, I feel like that's kind of what got me, you know, quote unquote popular, like, especially mm-hmm. when I was newer. I think like it was my performance and the fact that I liked what I was doing, and I am a sexual person. So I think like I'm a high value sex person. I like the sex. I like connection. I like when people genuinely want to work together. Like, I've always had the yes and no list. I really want to enjoy having sex with somebody. I want them to enjoy having sex with me. And I want that to be like seen on screen. I want some people to like see two people who really want to fuck having great sex. So mm-hmm. I think like that's something I've always really held on to for a lot of my career. Love glamour, love looking really good. But like, once you start going at it, I don't care if my eyelash is on my nose, like, you know, we're getting down. So no, I love good sex, good porn. I've always been a big fan of good porn.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's why we're all here, right?
Yeah.
Well, Romy, thank you so much for coming on. It's been such a pleasure to reconnect.
Hey, thank you so much.
And we are going to do a little bonus Q&A, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
My Patreon members sent me some questions for you. We're going to do that in a separate segment. That's okay. For my Patreon members only. So if you're a member, you'll be able to watch this.
Yeah.
In the meantime, Romy, can you tell everybody where they can find you online, please?
You can find me all over the net. I'm on Twitter, Romy_Rain. I'm on Instagram, Romy Rain. Both are verified. Please don't get scammed. Look for the blue check mark. But nowadays, kind of the blue check mark doesn't mean much because people can buy it.
Yeah.
But yeah, look for the high follower account. That's me. Official Romy Rain on TikTok. And yeah, follow me for all my content. I try to make some really good content. Love doing live shows, love connecting with fans. My OnlyFans is Romy_Rain, and yeah, let's chat sometime.
Fantastic. And then you guys can find me on Instagram at Holly Randall and on Twitter at the same name. If you want to go see my new bod, which is happening in 2 days, I also have an OnlyFans, onlyfans.com/Holly Randall. I'm gonna say now, I'm gonna project into the future that I look great.
Yeah.
go check it out. And of course, if you want to support this podcast and watch these interviews live and also access the bonus Q&As, go to my Patreon, patreon.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered, or just go to hollylinks.com. All my links are there. You can find everything, all my platforms there. Thank you guys so much for watching. Make sure you go give Romy a follow. Let's be honest, you're probably already following her. She's not kidding when she says she says she's a high follower count. But just in case, let her know that you came from this podcast so she knows she didn't waste her time. Thanks, everybody. See you next week. Thank you so much for listening. Your support means the world to me. A great way to show your love is to rate and review my show. And an easy way to do that is to go to ratethispodcast.com/HRU, and you'll be directed to the various podcast apps your device supports and then led to where you can leave your review. And if you can afford to financially support this podcast, you can do so for as little as $5 a month at patreon.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered. This is where you'll get access to the live streams of my interviews, bonus Q&As with my guests, access to my fine art photography and behind the scenes of my shoots, free memberships to my not safe for work website, hollyrandall.com, merchandise such as stickers, mugs, and hoodies, and so much more. You can watch the video versions of these podcasts at my YouTube channel, youtube.com/hollyrandallunfiltered. Join us every Sunday evening for episode premieres where you can chat live with myself and other HRU fans as we watch the newest release together. You can also follow the show on Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. All of my social media links are at hollylinks.com.